love at all.
99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is time for Back of the Book. Stay tuned.
Back of the Book. Where is it? Okay, I found it. Sorry.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's about 5 a.m. I hope it is. And you're listening to all. Christian nationalists score a big win in Alabama. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about that stuff by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. Click on that, and you'll be brought to the web page for this morning's radio program. This is our 167th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And I will note that, oh boy, last week's program got impacted by stuff coming in at the last minute and by me saying, oh, I gotta get this done and cutting something out, and gee whiz, we accidentally cut something out last week that I wanted to put in. Oh well, this is the way it goes when you have to produce the program in this way. On the moon and beyond, into various multiverses, the top story of the week has been, we have rocketed up to the ultra-gigantic total of 126 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. And I believe that is either the highest we've ever gotten or it matches the highest we've ever gotten on Twitter. Oh, boy. So tremendous. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 13th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has their CDC website, and it says that as of their last reading, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,180,042, which means that 1,515 people have died from COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. That's 373 fewer deaths than the previous week. Of course, if you're one of those 1,515 people who died, that's not much solace to you. Nothing would be because you're dead. But the people they're connected to are probably all very sad about this. And I'm glad, however, that the deaths are fewer than they had been. I really think that the weather being warmer than usual is having an effect on the spread of COVID-19. The people who are oblivious to COVID-19 because they think that the pandemic is over can be having the opposite effect, however. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are mostly still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our new shots. We don't want to get this disease. A fast program note. We are preempted next week for another fundraising special. We're scheduled to be back on the air on March 9th.
Well, R. Paul, sometimes late at night I say to myself, Pickles, says I, you got to stop watching so much TV. But I don't. I was clicking around, even though we don't really have clickers anymore, do we?
Well, they have the function. Yeah, they don't go click anymore
make the
like
noise.
They used to.
And I saw this late-night show that's aimed at people 30 and younger. And what they do is they get to riff on photos and clips from social media. This is a new show that's come on pretty recently. I'm sure it's online, too.
Okay, right off the bat, boy, this sounds like a low production value operation. Not that different from our low production value operation, but I think we probably do better things. Go on, my dear.
Well, and they have the host, the young host, and she has three guests, and they put up clips and photos and have to determine if what they're looking at is a real thing, and then they make jokes about it. And the picture they happened to be putting up was a picture of an army boot, and the words underneath it said trench foot, I believe. And they had to determine if that's a real thing, and none of them thought so. And they had a lot of yucks about it. And I thought to myself, wow, we don't have to give a crap or even know about things that happened just over 100 years ago anymore. I mean, gee.
Part of the history of the United States and part of the history of the world. World War I. Oh, good grief.
And the reason this sort of struck me in this way is because I've been looking at my family tree again. I've been looking stuff up. And we have a number of uncles in both of our families. I guess, I don't know if for you, was your grandpa? Your grandpa. And for, go ahead.
My grandfather was in World War I. I don't know if any of the other relatives ever got into World War I now.
Well, my parents combined had five of their uncles in World War I. And it made me think of my mother's Uncle Joe, who I've just found out a lot of stuff about. And I believe Canada had a draft for both World Wars. But Uncle Joe's experience happened in 1917. He was 28 years old, which is kind of old, I think.
Yeah, they drafted him much older than for my time of getting drafted. They wanted those 18 to 20-year-olds, and they got me.
Well, when Uncle Joe was 28, he left behind his wife and his little girl, and he sailed to England. I believe the ship he sailed on was one of the Canadian Pacific ships. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it right now, but later on in the war, it got torpedoed by a U-boat. But he made it over to England. He was a gunner, which is the same rank as a private, I found out. He was in the Canadian Field Artillery and part of the 1st Division Ammunition Company. So in June of 1917, he's deployed to France as part of the 79th Battery, and he is on the Western Front. And from looking at the time he was there and what happened to him, I believe he was part of the 3rd Battle of Ypres.
Oh, that was one of those historic ones.
Yes, and there were many. They call that the battle, but there were many battles inside that make up the battle.
Yes,
the 3rd Battle.
Which the British Tommies couldn't pronounce Ypres, which I probably can't pronounce either, which is French.
Well, I'm probably saying it wrong. So
they called it wipers.
Yeah, wipers. Oh, geez. Well, that kind of makes sense. So he gets there in June. In July, his record shows he was blown up by high explosives. That's all it says.
Oh!
And he's concussed and wounded, but he has minor wounds. So they think him, you know, flying through the air with the greatest of ease, something you know about personally, is minor.
Not like that. I didn't get blown up like that.
Well, he did, but he was like, he still had all his limbs and everything, but his, you know, brain got bashed around inside his skull. Do they send him to a hospital? No. He stays on the front. However, in August, he gets pleurisy. And he had pleurisy at least two times before he was ever in the military. And he was very sick when he had that.
He should have been 4F. They shouldn't have brought in a guy who had a serious disease like that. Well,
basically, pleurisy is you have an infection of your lungs, and it's the lining of your lungs, and it's very bad. You can't breathe. And Arpal is right. He never should have been drafted. But he was. So, but for that, for being concussed, they don't send him to the hospital. But for this, they send him back to England. So he's in a hospital in England for a few months, and he ends up getting better, and he can function again. And they're going to send him back to France. But before they do that, it's November, and he's just gotten pay. I think they got the sum of $20 a month, I believe, was the pay. And he went and cashed his pay, and he's walking down the street, and someone comes up behind him and bashes him in the head so hard that he just drops to the pavement. And another soldier finds him at some point. His pockets have been rifled, his valuables are gone, his pay is gone, and he drags him to the hospital. And after 10 hours after the guy found him, he wakes up. So he's got a cerebral concussion again. But they keep him in the army, and he's having a lot of health problems because of this. He can't see properly anymore because of this. And he has many problems, and he's falling down at parade. He can't do things. If they can't send him back to the front, they can't keep him there. So they decide in the spring of 1918, they're going to send him back home.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin.
And here's the assessment when he gets back home of his state of health. Patient is a well-developed, somewhat nervous-looking man. Heart, lungs, kidneys, and other systems normal. Nervous system, complains of headaches, dizziness, and throbbing in head in morning. Nervousness and excitability. There is palpitation of heart on exertion. Slight exertion causes profuse perspiration. Knee jerks active. Nervous system otherwise negative. Mental status. General memory poor. Power of attention impaired. Sleeps poorly. Rest disturbed by dreams of trench life, in which he sees generally a lot of blood. And in brackets it says, was with his sergeant when he, sergeant, was cut in two by high explosive.
So, yeah, a part of, yeah, this is absurd to us these days, but the reason why they kept him in for so long until he was, like, obviously utterly worthless as a soldier was World War I was this massive, unprecedented meat grinder. I think for the Battle of the Somme, the first one, I think the Brits lost like 130,000 men. And part of what was happening was they were really facing new weapons and new ways of doing things. And you had all of the trench warfare going on, which is how you got trench foot. You get trench foot by having your feet in basically lukewarm water at around in the 50s, high 40s into the 50s Fahrenheit, that temperature water. And, of course, it's dirty water because you're standing in a ditch that's got water in it. And the bacteria that show up cause trench foot. They start eating your feet and infecting it. And your immune system has to go wild to try and stop these invading bacteria. And so, yeah, that was a serious thing, and it took a lot of guys out. People lost their feet from it. But they keep him – obviously, they shouldn't have drafted him. Very obviously, after he got blown up, I guess that's when his sergeant got cut in half, yes. And he was there for that. And he had serious PTSD. They were keeping all sorts of people with all sorts of injuries on because the casualty rate was so high and they had the Germans coming at them. And they also didn't understand, you know, you can't just charge the enemy's lines. This isn't the olden days where you get in there and you charge them, because we have machine guns. And machine guns make a qualitative difference to fighting a war. And so when you go and charge the enemy's lines, first of all, they've got barbed wire, which means you can't really run at them. You've got to pause and cut the wire unless you've shelled their wire well enough that the artillery shells have torn it up. But that doesn't mean everything is smooth. Now you've got these craters to go through, and they're craters that are frequently filled with barbed wire. And so the other guys on the other side, the second the artillery barrage stops, they're up with their machine guns, and you're charging at them, and charging a machine gun is not a good idea. The Brits also came up with another brilliant idea. I don't know if they forced the Canadians into this or not. The brilliant idea of, you know what? We'll intimidate the Germans. We'll bring up the old thing that we did in the 18th century called the slow march. And what it is you line your guys up, which is really good for machine gunners, great targets if you make a line, and they will slowly, not run towards them, crouch, they will stand up straight and slowly march with their bayonets thrust forward. And I don't know if this worked in the 18th century, like, you know, 1721 or some damn thing, but it was absolute suicide, and somebody, the big generals in the British Army, thought this was a great idea. They tried it once or twice, and the casualty rate was just appalling, more than usual, and this is the kind of thing that was happening. They didn't know what to do. They were told, you have to take that, you know, trench. And they would say, yes, sir, and send these poor slobs to go take the trench. So it would get them all killed because they're trying to do something that's basically impossible. Yes, so that's why they kept them in there.
Well, yes, Uncle Joe was part of the walking wounded. The final diagnosis that they gave to him when he was back in Canada was neurasthenia, which basically is saying it's all in his head.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it was his head. It was. Cracked twice.
It was, yeah. And that 6 months of hydrotherapy and he'd be good as new, which is horrible. And there's one more thing that was like, this is the icing on this most horrible cake. He has been greatly distressed over family affairs since his return. This is largely responsible for the persistence of his symptoms, which is not true. I will say, though, that it was particularly horrible when he got back home because he found that his wife had had a child with someone else. And that must have been so devastating for him. I will say that he did have a better life afterwards. He found a really wonderful woman to be with. And my mom liked her very much. But gosh, yeah, trench foot is not a joke. It's a real thing. And if he had had trench foot, that would have been the least of his worries. So that's what I get for watching late night TV.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of let's make everything trivial going on these days. Oh, look at that. Ha ha. You know, people laughing at the Hindenburg.
Like, yeah. It's like, because
holy hell.
Because it's not real.
Yeah, it's just an old movie clip.
Yeah.
You know, they don't grasp it, which means these are people who are not really well prepared for future bad stuff.
Wow. Well,
both in their lives and larger than their lives.
I guess they're not going to be handling climate change very well then.
Well, there is that. Yeah, I guess they're certainly going to live in it, though.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. I tell you, we must die. Oh, moon of our love, now must say goodbye. We've lost our good old mama and must have whiskey on the new one. Show me the way to the next little girl. I tell you, we must die.
Alabama. Jeez. So this week, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are, quote, children, unquote. The 131-page ruling appeared to be based on an extremely literal interpretation of the Wrongful Death of a Minor Act, which the majority opinion called, quote, sweeping and unqualified, unquote. Thus applying to, quote, all children, born and unborn, without limitation, unquote. Alabama's Constitution holds that each person was made in God's image, although they don't say which God that might be. The justices even invoked the Bible throughout their ruling, and it's 131 pages, and they're going on about the Bible and all of this. So, yeah, Christian nationalists are trying to take over. Looks like they've taken over some part of Alabama, all right. And this is squarely on Trump. His three right-wing justices lied when being confirmed for the Supreme Court, and they struck down Roe, which is what they had been sent there to do, and it had been worked out with Trump ahead of time so he could get the Christian evangelicals in back of him to vote for him. And they did, of course. And so they want this. Terrible stuff. And this court ruling will most probably go to the Supreme Court, but I'm wondering if the Supreme Court might go along with this Christian nationalist agenda. I mean, it's not impossible. They've done some bad, bad things. And yeah, here and there, they've had to say, well, all right, Trump isn't immune from all laws for life or anything, so we have to say that. But, you know, that's quite – and they didn't all agree. And on some other things that are obviously fundamental, it's been a close thing of one or two of the right – usually one – of the right-wingers defecting and going with the more sane people. And that's how some worse things haven't been happening lately. But – this is something that I'm concerned about because this Christian nationalist agenda isn't just for Alabama. They're going to want to do it throughout the United States. And if the Supreme Court rules that, yes, a diploid zygote, which is what happens. You know, you have the egg and the sperm comes to it. When one sperm is successful and it gets in there, you have a diploid zygote. It is a cell. It quickly becomes two cells, but, you know, one or two cells. We are shedding, like, you know, a million skin cells a day. There are cells flying around all over the place, and these people are saying that a cell in a little centrifuge bottle, they're tiny, is a person, has all the rights of a child. And this wrongful death of a minor act, which is obviously something that's made so that people can't just kill their kids, which people do anyway. This is something they've decided to apply to both abortion, obviously, and to the diploid zygote, the single or double cell that shows up immediately after an egg is fertilized by a sperm. This becomes crazy. Yeah, by the time they put them in the freezer, they're embryos, but they're not much of anything. They're a lump of cells, and they're frozen so that their clock stops, because that's what happens when an egg is fertilized. A clock starts, and it goes for the entire time until birth. This is part of what happens when women who are pregnant drink alcohol or use certain drugs, because it prevents actions from happening in the embryo or the fetus, and you can't get that back because the clock says now do this, now do that. And every second the clock ticks, the DNA clock ticks inside the embryo or fetus. And certain things have to happen by that clock. And if they don't happen, they never happen because the clock keeps ticking. So if somebody gets loaded for like 10 hours, that's 10 hours of stuff not happening in the fetus or the embryo. And, oh boy, now we've got these people. I mean, this is obviously just Christian nationalism, and it's terrible. And people trying to have babies using in vitro fertilization are now stopped in Alabama. And some people have reportedly spent their life savings on the procedure, and now they can't have it. And is this going to give rise to Congress and saying, oh, yeah, let's make a law about this for all of the United States? Ah.
Well, they would. Some people would really like that because, you know, there is no in vitro fertilization in the Bible. No, this is true. They want to have the Bible replace the Constitution, I think. And yeah, that's why there's no trans kids in the Bible. There's no in vitro fertilization. There's no gay marriage. So this is why you want people to be right living, and they know what right living is. Oh boy, do they know what ultra right living is. And it's hateful and it's horrible. And I think they think that The Handmaid's Tale is a how-to book.
Yeah, and you know, if they really, really, truly believed that, I mean, they say they believe that, but they're really just after doing bad things to people, I think. If they really believed that, they would go with the Amish, who say, okay, we don't do things that aren't in the Bible. So they will have a horse-drawn carriage. They will, I think it's like they don't use buttons or something because mm-hmm. they're not mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Are all the Christian nationalists going to give up on cars?
Oh, well, let's not go crazy.
I mean, you know, goodbye NASCAR then. They can't have NASCAR. They can't have cars for themselves. Can't have buttons or zippers.
It's very selective.
Yes, it's very selective. It's we want to get you. That's what this is about from Christian nationalists. We want to get you, you being various people they don't like. And it doesn't just stop at religion. It's also related to race and gender, obviously. You know, it's obviously a thing of, yes, men can do what they want. Women, oh, we got to clamp down on women. Geez, you know, polygamy is in the Bible. And also I'll note, the Old Testament is mostly what they're going by. And the Old Testament is about one group of people who have this God who is doing great things for them, although, you know, some of those things that happen are pretty bad, like the Babylonian captivity and people getting slaughtered. Oh, boy, they didn't always win every battle. And the thing is, those people were the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews. Well, the modern Hebrews are not favorites of Christian nationalists. You go to Alabama and you get some amazing Southern attitudes on Jews. I've known people in the Army who I knew an officer in the Army, and he was complaining about, you know, the way they treated him. And because you have a lot of Southerners in the Army, at least you did 56 years ago, and you have these Southerners and they have their Southern attitudes there, and oh boy, you know, the racial part of that was really something to see from time to time. And you have that stuff going on, but they hate Jews. They're anti-Semites in Alabama, and they show it when they figure they can get away with it. So what tremendous overarching hypocrisy from Christian nationalists. And here they are getting this thing done, and who knows how far they're going to go, and what will the Supreme Court do? Are they – I'm sure Clarence Thomas will vote to go with the Christian nationalists. After all, that's what they pay him for. And so, Jesus H. Christ, to coin a term, this is a very bad thing. And if the Supreme Court goes with that, I would say that would be a next stage in the civil war that we are currently having. We are in a civil war right now. And we haven't had a Fort Sumter yet, but we were in a civil war in reality before Fort Sumter was fired on in April of 1861. By January of 1861, you had things like in South Carolina, they were shooting at supply ships coming to Fort Sumter, and it was called the North Star, the ship. And it was a government ship, and it's bringing supplies, and they were firing cannon at it. But somehow Fort Sumter is when it's really considered the start of the Civil War. But it really started months earlier than that. So we're not shooting quite a Fort Sumter situation now, but there is a Civil War going on. This ruling from Alabama is a part of it. And if the Supreme Court goes along with them, that's going to be the next notch. And at some point, actual shooting will happen. I wonder if at some point in this Civil War, some cities are going to be nuked because people were bombarding each other, 170 years ago. They're liable to nuke cities when this happens this time. I don't know. I hope it doesn't come to that. But this Civil War is ongoing. It's not in the future. It's here and now. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Former FBI informant Alexander Smirnoff has been charged with lying about President Biden and his son Hunter profiting from bribery in the Ukraine. And this Smirnoff guy has been charged with lying about all of this stuff by the FBI. He is just making this stuff up. The FBI has also charged Smirnoff with creating false records. This guy is the big witness upon whom the House Republicans had been relying for their impeachment of Biden. Now some Democrats have called for the impeachment to be halted, but the Republicans are forging ahead with their impeachment. It's an impeachment for nothing at all and with no evidence of anything that's impeachable. No high crimes or misdemeanors are even alleged in this thing. It's just they don't like them. And still, the Republicans had pretty much nothing before. Now they have less than nothing, and they're still going to do it anyway. It's obviously a case of, we're just going to do this because we can and it's political, but bleep everybody, we're going to do it, which is what they accuse everybody else of doing. The Republicans have become a group of people who uniformly do things that are not good that they accuse other people of doing to them. We are in late winter now, and late winter means we're headed for spring. We've been in late winter since this past Monday, February 19th, at 2:46 in the morning, Eastern Time. And yes, it's late winter, and winter slacks off when it gets late. So we're probably not going to get monstrously bad cold weather. I don't like the cold weather. Here and there, of course, we could get some because the jet stream is going nuts. We've discussed the jet stream going nuts before because it has too much energy in it. And, of course, what we're looking forward to is spring. The vernal equinox, which is when spring happens, will be on March 19th at 11:06 p.m. Eastern Time. Oh boy, I'm really going to be glad when we hit spring. And early spring is an interesting time. It's a lot like late winter, but gee whiz, it's quite the time, and I want to revel in some decent sunlight. And maybe a little bit of warmth would help, too. So, last time we were recording, and we got word that Alexei Navalny had died in prison. Alexei Navalny is the dissident in Russia who's a big opponent of Vladimir Putin. And so we heard that, and we tried to get it in, there were some problems, and we ended up having to cut that very short bit out because we had no time to do it. And so we had to cut that part out, so it didn't make it in. But we certainly want to talk a little bit about that now. Alexei Navalny was sent to various very difficult prisons. And, of course, in Russia, part of Russia is in the Arctic Circle. So they have these prisons that are up above the Arctic Circle, and it's horribly cold. And you can't live in that unless you're really well prepared for it. If you're just somebody escaping a prison, I don't know if they even bother to look for you because they say, that idiot's dead, because you'll freeze to death out there. And, of course, the Russians have had a lot of practice in what's called sending someone to Siberia, because a lot of Siberia is above the Arctic Circle. And so they know how to manipulate this kind of thing and do harm to people. And they won't say what the cause of death was for Alexei Navalny. I mean, everybody knows that Putin had him murdered. Putin had tried to murder him twice before. He had gone to Germany to try and get his system cleaned out of being poisoned. And again, poisoning, not only does Putin have a history of poisoning people with all sorts of things, including radioactive isotopes, but the Russian secret services are very skilled at this. For years, they've been doing this kind of thing. That's how they killed a guy, a dissident, who was on a bridge in London. And they managed, through an interesting, complicated trick of using an umbrella as a hypodermic needle, they managed to inject an extremely tiny pellet that had ricin in it. And after a few hours, he started feeling badly, and then that was it. Ricin, even in extremely tiny amounts, kills you, and it killed him. And eventually, an autopsy was done, and they found this extremely tiny microscopic metal pellet that had cavities in it where they found a bit of ricin. And, of course, they found the ricin in the dissident's body. This is what the Russians do when they want to get rid of somebody. And so this time, they just had him. They had him totally within their power. He's up in a prison in the Arctic Circle. And now they won't say what his cause of death was. And they're demanding that the family have a very private funeral, and that's it. Oh, boy. Well, obviously, the family knows that the Russian government does a lot of poisoning. And they've been saying the reason why they're not giving a cause of death or releasing his body is because they want to wait for the poison that they put in him to go away. And again, as I said, they are very skilled in these poisons. And there are some poisons that get injected into a person. It kills them. But then the poison degrades, and some poisons can degrade to a degree where after a day or two, there is no scientific method of detecting that the poison was ever there. And gee whiz. So they may have done that to Alexei Navalny. They may have injected him with something. I mean, he's in the prison. They could get 10 guys to come in, grab him, hold him down, give him an injection, a shot in the ass, and then just say, okay, that's it for you, and then chain him up so he can't move and wait. Or they could have just gone in and smashed his skull open with the butts of rifles. Who knows what they've done? They will not say how, you know, what his cause of death was. They will not release the body. So this is another thing of this awful Putin person. And I'm sad to say that we have Putin supporters here at BAI. Really, I mean, people who go to Russia to say, it's really good that you're invading Ukraine, right? Duh. Yeah, duh. And so, yeah, we have that. And boy, oh boy, Putin needs to go away in some way, preferably painful and knowing why he's getting it, but he needs to go away on a permanent basis. This is a bad, bad person. And so Odysseus went across the sea, and he waged war at Troy, and he came back home. And now Odysseus has landed on the moon. Yeah, we were watching that online. The Odysseus lunar lander successfully landed on the moon on Thursday evening, and we were watching. It was tense for a while there. Some things didn't go so well. And the company that did this, they had to use some NASA equipment that was there for something else, and because their equipment to make it, make sure it landed properly and didn't fall over the way the Japanese one did. God, that's a heartbreaker.
Yes.
You do all of that, and then it lands on rough terrain and tips over, and that's it. It can't do anything because this makes it so that its solar panels can't get any light, and it just dies. So that's a heartbreaker. So they want to make sure they get it standing upright, and hours before everything happened, they said, uh-oh, those systems aren't working. And so they gave it an extra orbit or two, and it landed. It was really supposed to land in the afternoon. It ended up landing in the evening, like around just about almost 6:30 in the evening. And they managed to borrow sort of the NASA equipment, and that had some lasers on it, and they were able to thereby loop it into their system and tell how far away the ground was, what the attitude of the payload was, and they were able to get it in there. And oh boy, so systems failed, but they managed to get it in. The United States had not landed anything on the moon since 1972, when Richard Nixon killed the Apollo program and a lot of future space programs because we don't need that stuff anymore. Damn troglodyte son of a bitch. And so this is the first time we've been up there in, 52 years? 52 years. Could have been doing stuff. Oh, well, anyway, yeah, the moon colony would have been thriving by now. But it happened, and they've got a new lander up there, and it's doing all sorts of things. It has loads of experiments, and it's a commercial company doing it, partnering with NASA, and they're so goddamn lucky they did partner with NASA. And we'll see how it goes. But, yep, that went, and we were very tense because there was a lot of communication silence for a while there. Oh, well, good luck with all of that.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
What's that? I hear something in the distance. What is that? It sounds like it's coming this way. Oh, it's the BAI pitching train, and it's coming in. Oh, the BAI pitching train is coming out. Is there anybody on it? Yes, the WBAI pitching hobos are on the train, and we are the WBAI pitching hobos, and we're asking you to call 1-212-209-2950. Yes, we are the pitching hobos, and we are asking you to heed our plaintiff harmonica call as we ride the WBAI pitching train and call 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy. And so you can do that, and you can help WBAI to survive. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining memberships. If you're a BAI buddy, that means you commit to donating some amount of money to WBAI on a monthly basis. And you can donate $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, more if you can. And what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950, tell them, hey, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, back of the book is the name of this radio program, and we hope that people will mention that so that, in fact, we can get credit for it. We'll tell you more about that in March, where, oh boy, things are going to get interesting. Anyway, you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. You will then give them either your debit card number or your credit card number. You will tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. That's, you know, $10, $15, $20 a month. I think you can do like, you know, $12.50 or $17, or I think you can do that, but it has to be more than $10. And so you tell them how much you want to donate on a monthly basis. You also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card billed, so that it, the bill comes in at a convenient time for you. And so you tell them, I want to do this in the name of back of the book, and that'll be pretty much it. And you will help WBII to survive. Right now, BAI is in a fight. Quite frankly, if you want to listen to some of the governance meetings at the national level, you can hear BAI being in a fight. It took three meetings of the National Finance Committee to be able to pass the WBAI FY24 budget. So, oh boy, other stations, one time and done. Not us. So we need to raise money. If we can raise enough money, we can prevent bad people from doing bad things. We've talked about stuff like that in the past here. And so we need you to donate. Please, you do that by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book. If you want to make a one-time donation, you can do that too. 1-212-209-2950. And we bring you all sorts of various things that are not generally done on other radio programs, even stuff that isn't done elsewhere on BAI. And so we do a unique program here. And yeah, it's not for everybody, I agree. But the thing is, it might be for you. And if it is for you, please donate. We need to have some people donating to WBAI in the name of back of the book. And don't think that if you say, oh, I'll donate some other time, that somehow we'll get credit for it. If you do that, by the way, write to me, rpm@glib.com, rpm@glib.com, and let me know that you've donated and all of that stuff. Because we got to make sure. 1-212-209-2950. We bring you science things. We have various takes on science things. The politics, the civil war that is actually going on right now has taken away from any number of things that we've been doing with science stuff. We've not been able to get a whole lot of stuff in here. And, oh my, it's a very bad thing that we have this money problem. And it's also very bad that we have this problem with the right wing in this country making these strides, these enormous gains, largely because a lot of people said, oh, Hillary will win. I mean, we even had somebody on BAI who was pushing defeat Hillary. That was brilliant. Yeah, he got his way. And so these are dire times. There is a civil war that is building up, and it's not done. It's going to get worse, and you're going to need something like WBAI to keep you informed about these things, to give you a different perspective on these awful things that are happening. And you're going to need that. And we're what you need to have doing it for you. I hope that made sense. And the bottom line here is, if you don't donate, there is a serious chance you won't have WBAI to listen to anymore. We'll be gone. That's not an idle threat. 1-212-209-2950. If you can, please call that number. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. We need that to happen, and we thank you if you do that. That's been it for Back of the Book this time. Again, we're not on next week. We're on March 9th. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, Again with Dave Kenny.
Dave Kenny again. And so we'll be back here 2 weeks from now. And the weather is going to be modifying a bit here in late winter. So enjoy that as much as you can. And above all, remember what that looking up at the moon and looking to see if he can find Odysseus Dormouse said.
David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and Off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder what ever became of
it. Now, will you tell me what happened on Saturday?
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Races have distinct traits.
No, those are markers, genetic markers found with more frequency in certain populations over time. That's all.
Sunday, February 25th on WBAI Playhouse at noon, Relativity by Cassandra Medley.
You and I will write about the 1% that makes people of color different. The melanin aspect of DNA.
Melanin aspect?
Of course.
Claire, look, if Dad were alive today, as a biologist dealing with these findings...
He'd be so proud to see you taking over and pushing the teachings even further.
But what if... He was
That's Relativity by Cassandra Medley, Sunday, WBAI Playhouse at noon, right here on listener-sponsored, locally controlled, non-commercial WBAI New York.
Don't want to use the website or the call center to contribute to WBAI? That's okay. Please feel free to send your check or money order to WBAI, 3rd floor, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Please make your check or money order out to Pacifica-WBAI. We thank you for your donation and hope that you will spread the word and tell your friends. And please keep on listening.
after you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.